He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Shepherds carried staffs. For what reason? Protection. I don't do well at protecting myself. I'm pretty klutzy. You can ask my family. As a parent, you think, oh, I don't want my kids to drop things. I don't want them to spill things. But when you're the one doing it first, like, you really can't say a whole lot because, okay, I just spilled my food, so you spill, it's the whole thing. So I'm not a graceful person, let's put it that way. And so when we think about protecting, if we can't even protect ourselves, how are we going to protect someone else? So again, we're going to be a flawed shepherd. You're not going to be a great shepherd. What is a sheep's defense mechanism? Does a sheep have a defense mechanism? Absolutely not. They're just a big giant ball of cotton. Not cotton. They're not cotton. They're a big giant ball of wool. There it is. It's a big ball of yarn on legs. And they really don't have anything. They don't have sharp teeth. They're not fast. And if you've ever seen a full-blown sheep with the wool and see it try to run, it's not graceful. And so again, not to be a shepherd, thinking about being a sheep. Let the Lord be the one that protects you. Let him be the one that fights on your behalf. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I tell my boys this. I'm not going to be the best fighter. I'm going to let the Lord handle that, and he can take care of it, and that way it'll get done the right way. So he's been our provider. He's our pathfinder, peacemaker, protector. verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lastly, on the shepherd side, is a preserver. If you don't keep sheep sheared, their wool gets to be no good. I mean, it's not something that's useful. So when we want to keep things good, we want to make sure they're preserved well. You know, you put meat away or canning. My mom used to can things every year. We do green beans and I'll get to that when we get to gardening. She used to put things away for the winter. So preserving is great, but if you're not good at it, if you don't seal it correctly, those green beans aren't going to be good in the winter, no matter how much you thought you sealed them. So there's just a matter of preserving. So again, if I'm not going to be good at it, I'm not going to be the best preserver, you know. Saving time, saving money, those are things that we can't really always do. But again, if God's going to be the one that preserves us, he's the one that saves us, he's the one that keeps us, then I'm going to let him do the job that he was wanting in the first place, and I'm just going to do the job that he asked me to do as a sheep, just to follow, to do what he asked me to do, to follow the path that he lays out. So, obviously, shepherding's not probably for us. So, if we're not going to be a shepherd, maybe we should be a gardener. You guys like the garden? I know Miss Karen does. Anybody else? Spend some time out in the yard. Well, I'm going to discourage you to be a gardener from being a gardener, too, here in just a minute. But we're going to go over to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to look at some gardening. How many of you knew that there was gardening in the Bible? It's one of the kind of the coolest parables that Jesus gives us. The coolest, man. I'm going to get ribbed about that later. Dad, you use the word cool from the pulpit. You're so old. Connor tells me all the time how old I am. This is a parable that Jesus is telling to his disciples about the sower and the reaper. Obviously, we know that there, in any kind of gardening, there's a planting and there's a growing. And now, if something stops growing, what does it do? It dies. It can't grow and die at the same time. It has to be doing one or the other. So there's no middle ground when it comes to growing, okay? Your tomato plant just doesn't sit in stasis until, you know, it decides it wants to, you know, do something different. It's either dying or it's growing. Now, spiritually, we're doing the same thing. You're either growing or you're dying. There's no, the Bible talks about how God hates things that are lukewarm. He's going to spew the lukewarm people out of his mouth because he doesn't like it. That is very paraphrased. Pastor, I'm sorry. So when it comes to planting things, he gives us some specific types of ground. He doesn't give us specific gardening tips. He gives us ground. So if we're not going to be the shepherd, we're going to be sheep. So in this way, we're not going to be the gardener. We're going to be the ground. All right? He talks about the good soil. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. because, again, I don't have a green thumb. I told you, keeping things alive. Planting things is one thing. Keeping them alive is another. But God always lets things grow the way that they should. He's way more of a green thumb than any of us will ever have. But he came to verse number 5. he spake by a parable, and a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." When you go back to Cain and Abel, they grew up in the same home. They grew up under the same influences. They had the same parents. They knew the whole story of how they had fallen. And yet they still made two different choices. And I tied that back with, "He that hath ears, let him hear." Abel heard. Abel knew what God had asked him to do. I don't know if that's why he picked being a shepherd. Abel, or Cain on the other hand, he didn't hear. You can listen all you want. And another thing I tell the kids, you can listen without hearing. You all know there's nobody deaf in here. Brother Britton's probably getting close. Physically, we have the ability to hear, but we're not always listening. And I think Cain, sometimes he was like, "Well, you know what? That's what I should be doing. That's what God wants me to do. But I'm thinking this gardening thing," because he knew about the curse. Like Adam and Eve, I'm sure didn't say, "Okay, boys, go ahead and go out and, you know, plant a garden." He knew that it was going to be difficult. He knew that there was going to be thorns and things. Now he knew all those things. He thought, "I can do this. I'm going to be the first guy that plants a garden after Eden." Like, I don't know if that was his mentality, but you kind of get that ego thing from him a little bit. And so planting a garden would have been great. It wasn't that his intentions were bad. It's just the attitude he was going about it. And so many times we have that same attitude. "I've got this, God. I don't need your help. I'll shepherd my own life. I'll take care of everything myself. You just, when I need you, I'll come back and I'll ask for what I need." That's what prayer becomes. It becomes a, I've got a problem. God, I'm going to pray now. I haven't prayed for 6 months, but you know, something's gone wrong now, so I guess I'm going to have to plug back in. So we come to where the garden is, and we look at these different kinds of ground. Obviously, the sower, the Bible talks about the seed is the Word of God. So as this is really talking to Christians, but the first example he gives, the sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. So if we're going to have good ground that God can use and plant in, we're going to have to be saved, first of all, because you're not going to grow spiritually if you're not saved. it says that some fell by the wayside. I mean, it's not even in the garden. So if you don't plant, if you're in a garden that's not even been tilled yet, you can't really plant in it, right? Because you got to till the ground. You got to make sure it's ready. If you're not saved, then God's not going to plant anything in you, right? You don't plant. I did landscaping in Oklahoma for 3 years, and Oklahoma is a giant block of clay, of red clay. You cannot dig in it. And so we would literally bring in brown dirt in a truck and dump it into their flower bed and dig out the old clay and put this good flower and this good dirt in and then plant things, because it had to be prepared correctly. You couldn't just, that clay, man, you could split it and then you smash it back together, but it probably wouldn't grow in that. And so the dirt has to be prepared by the fact that we got saved, and now God's going to start putting things into our lives that he wants to grow. When he talks about the fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, we can talk about that for a little bit. But when we start growing, there's going to be times soil fluctuates. You know, it can be a dry summer, and so there's not a lot of moisture in the dirt, or maybe you forgot to water, and so your flowers look like this. Never happened to me, ever. I can start to tell, like, I'll tell them, like, "That one looks like it needs water because it's over like this." And so you start to water it a little more because, again, we notice when things are bad. We don't always notice when things are great. Grain, things are going good. The ground is nice and soft. You know, we just planted everything. but then we come to verse number 6, and it says, "And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture." I want to use this as kind of when our heart gets bitter. When our heart gets angry, things don't go our way, We let situations and the circumstances that come into our lives build a wall around our heart a little bit, so it's not quite the soft dirt that God needs to be able to plant something into it. Soft dirt's the best. I love planting soft dirt. You stick your hands in it, you push it over, and you put the plant in. When you have to dig through hard dirt or a rock or something ridiculous, it makes it so much more difficult. And God's a great gardener, and all he needs is your heart to be soft. All he needs is your life to be ready for him to put something into it. Because what does a gardener do? He plants something, trusts that it's going to grow, waters it, feeds it, and it just does what it's supposed to do, right? We are the crows and the bugs and all the negative things of a garden. That's what we are. You know, that's as me as a person. I put so many bugs in my own garden that God has to take them and take them out. You know, we put the things in our life that aren't supposed to be there. We're going to talk about weeds here in just a minute. But the biggest one is we let that heart get hardened. This is, so-and-so did this to me. It happened to me in church this one time. This thing happened in the past, and now just forever it's changed to who I am. God never said, serve me when it's easy. He never said, follow me when life is the sun shining and it rains on sheep just as much as it rains on everybody else. You know, the shepherd's going to let it rain on them. He's going to walk them where they need to be. So maybe you've been hurt, and maybe some of that, your ground and your heart has gotten a little hard. Maybe the things of God don't speak to you the way they used to. Maybe it's just become repetition. Oh, yeah, I tilled the ground again this year. Got to put the stuff in there. Okay, we're done. We planted a garden my entire life. This is my one horrible gardening story, my miserable childhood. I didn't have a miserable childhood. But we planted a garden every year, and so my dad would till the ground. We plant everything in there. I don't mind that part. You know what the worst part of gardening is? Picking green beans. The absolute worst. Because you pick them, and then we'd bring in the big bowl. You know, we got this whole giant bowl of green beans. We're coming in the house. We'll go, yeah, Mom, we're done. Are you? Are you done? And she would go back out to the stupid green bean things. And, oh, see, there's one. So then you go through the whole thing. Okay, Mom, we got the green beans. We're all done. And you get to that, and nope, there's still more. We go back out. You went to those stupid green bean things like 5 times, and you still wouldn't get them all. But that's because the ground was good, and things were supposed to grow, and that's how they're supposed to go. You plant a seed, you water it, you feed it, it grows. And God wants to plant it into your life, and he wants things to grow in your life that are good. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all of those things he wants to grow in our lives, but we're going to be the ones that put a rock on top of it. I can't be kind because I was hurt. I can't be long-suffering because someone was impatient with me one time. I drive 250 miles a day probably, a lot of days. And you get impatient driving sometimes. A lot of people get impatient driving sometimes. And, you know, patience is a virtue. And we have to wait sometimes for God to take the rock out. And he will, but we have to be willing to let him. But we hold on to those things sometimes. And we let them, like, oh, here, I'm going to plant this as a, it's going to be an ornament in my garden. I think it's really nice. I like this rock right here on top of my plant. So anyway, basically just letting those things that come into our lives not become something that hardens us, that becomes something that we allow to stunt the growth of what God wants to do in our lives. Does that make sense? Don't look at me like the teenagers do on Sunday morning. Okay. All right. Verse number 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Do you know anything about gardening? Weeds grow 300,000 times faster than plants do. I don't know why. I mean, I know it's part of the curse and all that, but it's just like, God, why? They're ugly. They're thorny. They have no purpose. They're just there to be a pain. They suck the nutrition out of the plants. There's a lot of vines. If you know vines, they choke the plant out. So there's just nothing good about thorns and vines and weeds. You know, there's not something positive that I can be like, oh, let's talk about how good weeds are. Nobody likes weeds. So in this verse, he's talking about the sins that we let into our lives, because that's going to choke your spiritual growth out. It's going to stop you from growing. And again, if we're not growing, we're dying. All right, who said that? He's a gold star. Thank you for whoever said that. you guys are so not as talkative. The teenagers, like, you guys need to just give me 5 seconds so we can go further if we would stop talking to them. You guys are like... Anyway, so sin that comes into our lives, we put it, again, that's something we plant in there. God doesn't put sin in our lives. We do. We allow it. We feed it. We look for it. We go out looking for it. sin doesn't always walk into the door, but, I mean, we can let it in a lot of the times. And so, when he says some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it, I think that Cain thought that he could get away with it. He thought he had it handled. It wasn't a big deal. I can just do it my own way. And we think the same thing. I love looking at stories in the Bible, and we always kind of judge, like, you know, the children of Israel for their doubting, and Abel or Cain for killing his brother. And but so many times we don't think about it. We do the same thing. I mean, maybe not. Hopefully not. We haven't killed anybody recently. Like, I hope that's not a thing. But, you know, like the children of Israel, there's so many times that we doubt God's goodness, and we go the opposite direction of what he wants us to do. We try to do good things and spiritual things, but we want to do them our way, not the way that God designed them, just the way that Cain did. He wanted to do it his own way. He wanted to do it. He had it figured out. I'm going to bring this asparagus to go with the side of lamb that Abel's bringing. You know, I don't know what he was thinking, but he thought that he knew better than what God did. And a lot of times it's the same way with sin in our life. We think we can handle it. I've got 5 boys, and they have all gone through a period of, well, that's how it happens to other people, but it's not going to happen that way to me. Like, there's every one of them have got, well, Cohen not yet, he's only 6, but they've all gone through that at some point. And because that's just in our human nature, we think we're going to be the one that I'm not going to have to deal with the circumstances. I love Brother Don on Sunday. He talks about choices and consequences, and it's something I've always hit with our boys, the teens as well, is every choice has a consequence. There's something that's going to come along with it, whether good or bad, whether more than what we expected, less than what we expected, but there's going to be something. For every weed that you plant in your garden, there's going to be 5 or 6 that grow up that you didn't even plant, that you didn't know were going to be there, and then there's going to be a dandelion on top of that. And so we need to keep our garden weeded, I guess would be the way I would say that. because, again, they're going to choke us out in our spiritual life. And God did not design us to be good ground full of weeds, choking out the good things that he's trying to put in it. He wants us to be good ground with the good things that he wants to grow in there. And then verse number 8, other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I love this about sowing and reaping. You get the good and you get the bad, right? You plant one seed of corn, you don't just get one ear of corn out of it, right? You get a whole stalk, which can be however many come off of it. And that can be really bad on the negative side, you know? You can plant sin in your life and it comes back 20-fold. But the great thing about God is he'll put something in your life that is wonderful, and it will multiply, and as it grows, it multiplies, and as your influence, or you're a blessing to someone, and they're a blessing to someone, and then that person's a blessing to someone, and it just continues to spread, and those things go to our account. I love Brother Don's illustration about that. You know, you get to heaven, and the different things that we don't always think about, the rewards that he has prepared for us, not necessarily based on all the things that, well, I did this to be good. I had perfect attendance in Sunday school. whether you did it to be seen or to be heard of men, but the things that we do on earth are going to be revealed someday. Now, the repercussions of those things are not necessarily something we know about until later on, and that's what he's talking about. He said, some fell, sprang up and bear fruit 100-fold. God doesn't just want to give you a seed, you know? He wants you to have the full experience of a garden. He wants you to reap the benefits of the things he wants to put into your life. He never said, let me give you the bare minimum and you'll be fine, you know? The verse that talks about, I think it's in Psalms, he talks about giving us the desires of our heart even, the things that we wish for, the things that we would like to have. God is not a God of bare necessity. And so many times we put that into his court. Well, I have what I need, and I'm just gonna let the weeds grow a little bit, you know, and then I still have some fruit in my garden, but, you know, the weeds are coming in a little bit stronger this year. And so he says, he sprang up and bare a hundredfold, and when he said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Tonight, I know it was kind of, I thought about it, I'm like, well, it's a little misleading, but being a shepherd is overrated. God's got it. He doesn't need you to do it. He's going to be the provider. He's going to be the one that takes care of us. He's the one that's going to, he can take care of the lilies and the sparrows and the little things in their lives. He can take care of the little things in your lives, the big things in your life. He wants to be that shepherd. So let him be. So be a sheep. And then secondly, don't be worried about being a gardener. God's going to plant the good things in your life. God's going to water them. He's going to mature them. He's going to let them grow if you'll let him do that. And so let me encourage you tonight not to be a shepherd or a gardener. Just be good ground. Just be good ground and a good sheep. So just some things to think about. I hope you'll think about. We'll have a short invitation, and Carson, make way. just some things that God laid on my heart. We had talked about Cain and Abel in class. We were talking about the young people in the Bible. And God puts things in the Bible for a reason. I don't know why everything is in there, but he put in there that Cain was a gardener and that Abel was a shepherd for a reason, just so we could maybe learn some lessons from those different people. So let me, again, just encourage you to be a good sheep, follow where God asks you to go, do what he asks you to do, be good ground, let him plant in you, let it grow. You know, don't stifle what he wants to grow in your life. So let's stand together. Let's have a quick minute of invitation.